The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors. Sorinex Exercise Equipment, Samson Exercise Equipment, Intech Strength, Iron Grip Barbell Company, Train Heroic, Gym Aware, Woodway, Versa Pulley. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast.
Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 191. Super excited to have Zach Woodfin with us. Zach is actually the interim athletic director at Southern Miss University right now. He's been the head strength coach. He was most recently elevated to the interim athletic director role, not the associate athletic director or the assistant athletic director, the actual athletic director for the university. And so we dig into that quite a bit in this episode. We talk a lot about, you know, how he prepared himself to be even considered for a role like that. What were some of the things he did to prepare his staff to be able to lead in his absence. And then just kind of the perspective of being an athletic director right now and how that relates to, you know, how he views strength and conditioning in that role and vice versa. And so if you're a strength coach, you're working at a university or high school, and you're dealing with athletic administration, this episode is gold for you. He does a great job of just laying it all out. And I just think it's an awesome, awesome opportunity for all of us strength coaches to have a guy like Zach leading the way there. Fred Eves was another one that just recently was named an athletic director for his high school. You know, I personally think that as strength coaches, there's nobody better prepared to know the inner workings of a department other than the strength coach. But just a great episode. You guys are going to get a ton out of this. Before we do, though, I want to make sure we recognize our sponsor. We took on a new sponsor, took on several new sponsors this year, but one of them is Gym Aware. As you guys know, I'm a big fan of Elite Form. I've used Elite Form in the past at Tennessee and other places, and they do a great job, you know, and it's a great product, and it's using the camera system at the racks. And one of the things that, you know, I've been really keen on Gym Aware about is the fact that it's been portable. And, you know, and the other thing, honestly, is that Brian Mann, who I, you know, I get a lot of my velocity-based training information from, uses Gym Aware. And so very fortunate to have Gym Aware come on board as both a sponsor for the podcast and for the summits and as part of that package. And I think the world of them. I think that's a fantastic product. As the more that I dig into it, the interface on the apps are fantastic. The portability is fantastic, and then the customer service with Evan and the rest of the gang there is great as well. And so I would encourage you guys that if you have not gotten into velocity based training, you know, check out Brian Mann's book. He just released his third edition, Developing Explosive Athletes. I would definitely start there as a reference point and then dig into it further from there. But real excited to have Gym Aware on board this year. Excited to play more with it myself, and we're bringing you updates along the way. But you know, honestly, reach out to them, follow them, get to know them at one of our summits this year. They'll be at each and every one of them. So come by, check out the product. And I know you're gonna think as much of it as I do. And so excited for that. Excited for you guys to hear this episode with Zach. Sit back and enjoy, and we'll see you on the other side. Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Super excited to have Zach Woodfin with us. He's a head strength coach at Southern Miss, but he's also the interim athletic director now. We're gonna talk about that. But we're at the NSCA. Coaches Conference. It's a conference that I've been coming to for a lot of years. Zach's been coming to for a lot of years. And just a guy that I've gotten to know through the profession for many years now, does it the right way. I mean, I appreciate that having you on the show, man.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, glad to be here.
Zach, for everybody that's just getting to know you, you know, really quick, in this kind of Reader's Digest, take us back to playing days in Alabama to, you know, going through the NFL to, mm-hmm. you know, your path to Southern Miss.
Sure. So, born and raised in Alabama, played high school football at Prattville High, went on to play college football at UAB, got an opportunity to play in the NFL out of UAB, was undrafted, free agent to Green Bay, spent about the first 8 games there, got cut, went to New Orleans a couple of weeks, got cut, went to Baltimore, stayed there for about 6 months, eventually got cut, went to NFL Europe, first season, played in NFL Europe.
Yeah, that's right.
Great experience, as you know, you were there coaching. Came back, signed with Houston Texans for a little bit, got cut. So all of that was about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Got into coaching shortly after. I was interning at Alabama. I was kind of a part-time coach at UAB, just starting off. From there, went to Athletes Performance, which is now Exos.
Yep.
4 years in California. Great time there. Left there, went to the Green Bay Packers as an assistant. Worked with Mark Lovat for 3 years. Left there, went to UAB, which is my alma mater, as a head strength coach. 1 year, they shut football down. Thank the Lord, Southern Miss gave me an opportunity, and I've been at Southern Miss. Just finished my second year.
Yeah, it's a typical strength coach route, right? You were obviously a gifted athlete to have the opportunity to go on and play, but also you've had to kind of continually strive to work to chase your dream of playing in the NFL, I'm sure, at one point, and then chase your dream of coaching in the NFL or at high level like you've been doing. What were some of the things that – what made you want to get into strength and conditioning in the first place?
Yeah, my love for training, nutrition, mindset started back as an athlete. Mm-hmm. They were the tools that I used to level the playing field.
That's right.
I didn't have the talent that some of the great players had. Mm-hmm. And so it was a natural passion. And when I start really looking at what I want to do in my life, I want to, live life to the fullest. I don't want to necessarily have to work.
Right.
If you do what you love, you don't ever work.
Sure. Exactly right.
Yeah, and so it was natural to want to give back in the areas that helped me achieve my goals mm-hmm. in playing. Help athletes, with the things that I love to do.
Right.
And eventually that morphed into just helping athletes become better people and better athletes.
Sure.
And that's really what my mission is all about today, is helping athletes become the people that God created them to be.
So, when we chose to get into this field, obviously, there's a passion there. There was a work ethic there that existed, an intrinsic motivation, and you identified your successes on the field with, the immediate work that you did in the weight room and being disciplined in your nutrition, things like that. When you're dealing with athletes that don't have that same type of mindset towards, the things that you love, that you're passionate about, sometimes that creates friction. So I'm sure you've made some mistakes in your career dealing with athletes that maybe didn't love it as much as you did. What's one of the biggest mistakes you made and how you learned from them?
Yeah, I think, early on, some of the biggest mistakes I made were, just trying to, treat everybody the same, and just this is the way we're doing it. This is the way that I'm communicating with everybody, and so as I've grown and as I've learned, to make change. Those hard athletes, mm-hmm. you can't necessarily come at them the same way as you would
sure.
a different type of athlete. So knowing people's background, knowing what life they came from, knowing what they might be dealing with, just knowing them better as people.
Right.
And so I think the biggest thing that I've learned is just how to coach people that have come from all different walks of life, males,
right.
females, poor, rich, big, small.
Sure.
There's a different way
right.
To connect with all of them. And so I've made some mistakes in the past and still make mistakes, but trying to get better at,
right.
Really knowing each athlete and what's the best way to influence this person.
I think that that's obviously there's a lot of coaches and just hearing kind of the presentations that have already gone on today, there's a lot of people saying that they care about the athlete, or they're asking their athletes about them. But what are some of the specific questions that you ask to kind of
You know, like, how do you feel like you get to know the athlete the way that you need to be able to push them? What kind of questions are you asking? What tactics are you using?
Sure, sure. Well, Brett Bartholomew had a great, you know, presentation this morning that I think you were in. But, you know, he's had simple questionnaires. You know, who is your best coach and why? That tells you a lot. Tell me about your family. You know, where are you from? You know, you have brothers and sisters, you know. You know, I know some coaches, they have like a big candy bowl in their office.
That's right.
Well, it's not to give out free candy.
No.
It's to have an open invitation for people to come in and sit down and just let me find out who you are. You can learn so much about them just by simple conversation, you know, not trying to be something you're not. You know, you got to have presence as a strength coach, and you got to have, you know, the ability to lead, but you also got to have, there's got to be times where you're just human.
Right.
You know, and you're not this like figure that's supposedly larger than life.
Right.
Because if you want to make true change, you got to be a real person.
Agreed.
And so those are some of the ways that I do it. You know, constant talk, come on in my office, have guys to my house for cookouts. They meet my family. You know, they know there's a you know, a line of professionalism.
Right. Coach Adley,
but they also know, you know what, coach, he's treating us like family too.
Right.
You know, so
well, I think there's two things there that I really want to dig into. One is, you know, it doesn't mean, like you say, questionnaire. It doesn't mean that you're going robotically through a list. Okay, hey, let's sit down, answer question one, question two. Yeah. It's all those quick touch points through the day or through the year or through the week where they come in for a you know, a sucker, and they come in, you pass them in the hallway, and you're sitting next to them on the bus or riding into a game or something. Right. You're asking them those types of questions at that moment. Yeah. And that's the art of coaching. It's not just this robotic type of thing.
Right.
But also I think that you mentioned the human side of it. You know, letting them see you as a human. That doesn't mean like the boastful side of you, of all the great things about you. It's also like when I would fight with my wife, I would tell them, I'd talk to my players about it.
Yeah.
You know, when I was having issues with my kids, I'd talk to my players about it. And, you know, they need to see great examples of men or women, you know, leading their families and how they're supposed to handle conflict resolution and all the challenges that are in life. And I know you do that. And I think that's so much of the art of coaching, is letting them see both the positives and the negative sides of you as a human. And I think that's directly led to you putting yourself in a position where, you know, and I think this is huge for our profession. For everybody listening, Zach was named interim athletic director, not AD, assistant AD, or associate. He was named interim athletic director, functioning purely as an athletic director right now. We'll be going back to strength and conditioning, but you were able to put yourself in a position to get that, probably because you were athlete-centered first. But I think you also created some other skill sets about you that put you in a position to be able to take on that kind of leadership within a university. When there are a bunch of associate athletic directors and assistant athletic directors walking around thinking that maybe should have been them.
Right, right.
What were some of the skill sets that you felt like you learned outside of strength and conditioning, X's and O's, to put yourself in a position to be able to take on a role like that in the first place?
Yeah, sure. I think the biggest skill set that helped me, you know, helps me in everything is the skill set I've learned by trying to become a stronger man in my faith. You know, and I call that a skill set because it's something you got to work at.
Yeah.
You got to work at. You know, it's not easy to be disciplined in certain areas of your life. And if you want to be a person of faith, you know, which I am, I try and I fail, but you got to be skilled, you got to be disciplined. And that's really probably been the most helpful thing to me, because that guides how I treat people. And to me, this is all about how I treat people, how I treat the athletes, how I treat all of our head coaches, how I treat all of our administrators.
Right.
And, you know, being there 2 years, I've been able to touch everybody in the athletic department, and hopefully I've been able to touch them in a positive way.
Sure.
And so the president, you know, I think saw that. He's a very hands-on president. He doesn't just sit up in his tower. He's around all the time. He sees this. And so it was something that I think he saw, and he asked if it would be something I would do, and I accepted. So,
you know, when you're in that role, now obviously you're seeing the complete other side. I mean, I think sometimes as strength coaches, it's easier for us to say, oh, that's just the way the coaches are. That's just the way the administration is. And, you know, athletic administration, in my opinion, is one of those most thankless jobs. You know, because they're they're at all the volleyball games, they're at all the soccer games, they're at all these things, and they're not really getting the pat on the back saying, thanks for coming. It's like, you know, this, you're expected to be there almost. And they're doing so much for the athlete experience, they're doing so much for the university behind the scenes. Then, oh, by the way, they're there at 9 o'clock at night at the end of a volleyball match, sometimes picking up chairs and whatnot. You know, you've seen the other side now. What, sitting in that chair, what would you tell strength coaches as an athletic director on, you know, pieces of advice?
Yeah, I think being, I've been interim AD for about two, three weeks now, but I've already been able to really see some things that most of us as strength coaches should know. And it's that we're really a small piece of the pie, you know, whether it's the football program, the softball program, whatever it may be, we're a small piece of the bigger picture. Now, we're a very important piece, in my opinion, and it's vital to have a great program if you want to be successful, but we're still a small piece. So we have to remember that, I think, when we do have success in teams, that we're not the reason that the team won the championship. And we also have to remember when we have really tough years, we may not be the reason we're having tough years either. You know, and so we're a small piece of the pie. So being interim AD, it's even on a larger scale, you see how the whole thing fits together. So it makes you appreciate how a football program could potentially help a women's soccer program, and how a softball program can help, and how everything fits together, and how it's the athletic director's job to bring all of these coaches, athletes, administrators together to try to have a great athletic department. And everybody should be helping everybody. It's very hard to have success as an athletic department when everybody's trying to do their own thing, pulling the wagon together. So it's given me a greater appreciation of just how important it is for sport coaches to really work to get along with each other, to support. It's important for football athletes to go to volleyball games. It's important for, you know, football coaches to support, you know, softball coaches, you know, women's tennis, you know, and that all comes from just humility. You know, we're not better than you, and nobody's better than anybody else. We're all doing this thing together for the student athletes, trying to push them to be better people, and trying to push them to be the best athlete they can be.
Yeah, it's a humbling exercise. And one of my mentors, Mark Asanovich, who, you know, and Jeff Friday, who we both know, you know, had us, we would draw a circle, and it was like all the components of what went into winning and contributing. And it's like strength conditioning and athletic training and, you know, all the, you know, fundraising and everything. And as strength coaches, you know, of course, we make the pie, you know, two-thirds of it is strength and conditioning, and then it's everything else. But truly, it's like all those things fit into that small sliver, you know, and it's humbling when you actually map it all out. And you're forced, you know, you're kind of forced to in that position. But, you know, with you taking on this role right now, obviously you're a strength coach at heart. You're going to go back to being the head strength coach, you know, and the whole deal. But you've also had to kind of relieve yourself from those duties right this second and hand it off to an assistant, you know. And what were some of the things that you did? This was, you know, as a head strength coach, it's always hard to kind of release control or to empower your staff members. What are some tactics that you use, some takeaways that you could give the listeners on how they can better prepare their staffs to be able to, in a moment of crisis or a moment of transition like this, they could pick up and pull the, you know.
I'm very fortunate, you know. So Jason Finley is going to be our interim head strength coach. He's my assistant. While I'm gone, he's leading the show. And so the thing that I've tried to do from the beginning is I knew leadership was not necessarily about control. Leadership is about teaching. It's about bringing other people up to a place that they may not can get on their own. And so I've constantly, you know, last 3 years, that's how long Jason has been with me, trying to give him, you know, more responsibilities, a little bit more, you know, and so empowering even our interns, you know, our GAs, when they earn it, I empower them and I give them more and more and more and more responsibility. It doesn't come free, it has to be earned, you know, but I felt like when I said yes to being the interim AD, a big reason I did that is because I felt like our strength and conditioning program would continue to move forward in a great way with Sir Jason because he's ready for that.
Right.
You know, I've given him, because he's earned so much responsibility already, that this is going to be a very just normal transition, not only for him, but for our athletes.
Right.
Our athletes are used to getting coached up by Coach Finley. They're used to him leading sessions.
Right.
And so for some of us, it's hard to relent control because we want to do it this way. But if you can really teach and model and have systems in place, then your assistants can really do it this way too.
Right.
You know, and so I feel really good about it. And it's something I've worked on for a long time just because I want the best for him.
Right.
He wants to be a head strength coach someday. So I was preparing him for that. I didn't know this was going to happen, but it happened. And it just so happens that for 3 years I've been preparing him. And he's ready.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That was the hardest thing for me as a strength coach was, you know, for many, the first, you know, half of my career, it was, you know, it was all, you know, I wanted to be in control. I wanted to, you know, and, you know, somebody had told me that, you know, you think that you're making it so that you're indispensable or you're, you know, you're showing how good of a leader you are. But the reality is that if your people can't take over for you, then you didn't do a very good job of leading at all.
Right.
You know, and you got to find ways to empower them consistently.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I got to a point where I tell people on my, on the interviews, that I don't hire assistant strength coaches. I hire head strength coaches, you know, and because you want to be able to bring in those types of voices. You want to be, have that kind of input. You want your, you know, if you're just looking for people that can, that a robotic can go coach a rack, then, you know, it's not, that's not a true professional. You know, we have an obligation to grow our professionals, and obviously you've done that very, very well. What's the first thing you're doing when you go back? You know, when you go back to strength and conditioning, what's the, you know, like, what are you missing the most? And then what is something that now that you've learned this, you're going to go do this a little bit differently?
Definitely missing being around the athletes, you know, all day, every day. You know, I'm still very passionate about being on the floor, you know, like we said earlier, being involved in their lives, you know. So I'll miss that, you know, the most during this interim time. And probably the way that, that, and I'll still have a lot more to learn in this process, but as of now, the way that I'll probably be a little bit different as I go back and already in 2 or 3 weeks have learned is just how much more involved I should be with every aspect, if I can. Now, balance is key, but with every other sport.
Right.
You know, we try to treat every single sport at Southern Miss like they're the most important sport in the country.
Sure.
They're the most important sport on campus.
Right.
We don't show favoritism to football over women's soccer. And so,
it's hard to do.
Yeah, I can do a better job. I think we do a great job in the training aspect, but I could probably do better as the director of sports performance. It's getting to more of their games, showing face, you know, showing up at a practice, you know, showing up at women's tennis. And, you know, oh, there's Coach Woodfin, you know.
Right.
It just shows a complete deeper level of care when you do stuff like that. And I need to make a point to do that more.
Yeah. Well, Zach's got to head off to meeting with the president of the university and boosters and the whole deal, but we have to cut this a little short. But we end the show with some resources, so give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Stay humble and hungry. You know, stay humble and hungry. You never can know enough in this profession. And the biggest turnoff to any coach I've ever met is arrogance.
Yep.
You know, and so, and it's easy to become arrogant when you have success.
Sure.
But you have to understand there's always another level. There's always more to learn, and there's always room to grow.
Great. Yeah. Great. What about a book, app, and website recommendation?
Sure. Book, you know, I'm reading Ego is the Enemy right now.
Yeah, Ryan Holiday's great book.
Yeah, Matt Shadid at Arkansas State sent that to me. And so I'm reading that. App, you know, I really like a lot of recovery apps. I would recommend like the Sleep Cycle app.
Okay.
To anybody, it's super easy, it's free, you know, and website, you know, there's a ton. You know, I'm a big fan of Mike Boyle, you know, his sight, you know, so I would say those are my three.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I think this, you know, and I told Zach this off camera just when we were talking, but I think what he's doing right now and demonstrating is the ability to have a greater influence, a greater impact on your organization, the school you're at, by doing it the right way, doing it like many of us do, but also being open to the idea of being outside of those four walls of the weight room and impacting the entire community, not just the athletes that you deal with. And I think sometimes we get caught up in, and it's a daunting job. I mean, you got 400, 500 athletes. Mm-hmm. You know, that should be enough people to influence on a daily basis. But strength and conditioning coaches are some of the most influential people that I've, you know, some of the smartest people, some of the most caring people that I ever come across. And Zach's a prime example of that. But everybody has that in them. And for him to set the table and be able to do that, I think it's big for our profession. I really do. And, appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been awesome.
The whole deal, man. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a great day.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.